Well, good morning, church. Man, it's not. I usually come to second service because first hour I'm hanging out with middle schoolers, and it's not nearly as much of a stampede here in first hour. These guys, second service is like just it's crazy. Anyway, so it's first hour, so I'm gonna sit most of this service because I've only had one cup of coffee. Second service could get a little crazy, because I'll probably drink at least four cups of coffee before then. I'm not a morning person, but that's just me. If you don't know me, my name's Eli. I am the youth minister here at Christian Church in the Wildwood, which means I'm usually hanging out with middle schoolers through different programs and things throughout the week. I also coordinate a bunch of high school small groups, which are going great, and I love doing that. I love working with teens. I love working with middle and high school students. But I'm excited to hang out with you guys this morning and what I like to call big church. So, it's not because you're a bunch of big people, it's because this is a church for older folks, right? So here's the deal. Last week, we started going through this, we started talking about this word impact, right? We're going through the series about Colossians, and we're still in the first chapter, but we started working through this word impact, right? We're talking about it, and what we started saying is that as Christ followers, our goal should be to equip others for impact. And as I've grown, I've found this to be true, and Dave said this last week, is that you are impacting somebody whether you realize it or not, right? You are, little old you, is shaping the minds, the self-image of other people. You are changing the way people feel, the way that they act, whether you realize it or not. Because here's what that looks like, is when we come in contact with a person, the way that we treat them is going to directly affect how they treat the next person that they come in contact with. So whether you realize it or not, whether you're intentional about it or not, you are making an impact on the world around you. And so the big question that we've got to ask ourselves is, how can we be proactive about this? Right? We don't want to go through life. We don't want to be passive about this. We want to be proactive about it, and we don't just want to make an impact, right? We don't want to just change people's lives for no reason. We don't want to impact people for no reason. We want to make an impact for Christ. So what we're asking is, how am I going to make an impact in the world around me for Jesus? How am I going to do that? How are you guys going to do that? How are we as a church going to make an impact for Jesus? So we started this conversation last week. Dave gave us the motivation for it, which is Jesus, right? This is like the most stereotypical Sunday school answer ever, right? I work with middle and high school students, and I can always tell when they are not paying attention in class because I call on them, and they just immediately go to Jesus, right? Like you can ask them any question or whatever. Maybe you've experienced this in one of your Bible studies as well. You can ask them any question, and if they're not paying attention, they just go, Jesus, right? Now, and here's the thing, it works, and middle and high school students are very creative about this. You wouldn't believe it. But here's the thing, who's your favorite Bible character? Jesus. Well, of course it is, right? Who's someone in your life that you look up to? Jesus. Yeah, that's very good. Now, here's a tricky one. Who parted the Red Sea? Now, you want to say Moses, right? You want to say Moses, but really God did it through Moses. Jesus is God, so Jesus. Right? These kids are creative, I'm telling you. So here's the thing. Last week we talked about our motivation for impact. One big Sunday school answer, let's all say it together. Why do we want to impact people? Jesus. Yes, very good. Very good. Very good. Dave said this last week. He said we have to come to the end of ourselves if we want to make an impact for Christ and his kingdom. And what that looks like is we just... You know, we can get so wrapped up in what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what people think about us, how we're going to pay the bills, all of those things. But we have to put all of that aside. We have to be reminded. Here's the thing. We have to reminisce about this. We have to meditate on this. And I'm not good at this, but I'm hoping you guys will be by the end of the day. Reminisce on the fact that Jesus has done some incredible things in your life, right? He has really done some incredible things, and that should be our motivation for impacting the people around us. This is what motivated Paul, right? And this is what motivated Jesus. It's what why he says the Great Commission towards the end of Matthew in chapter 28. he says, and this is a paraphrase, but he basically says, hey, you guys have been following me around for like 3 years, and you've seen a lot of really incredible things happen. Why don't you share it with the people that you come in contact with from here on out? And hey, while you're at it, baptize them, teach them, and surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. That should be our motivation as well. And I said this already, but our goal is to equip others for impact by doing those things. Last week we talked about the motivation. This week I want to give us some essential ingredients that we need to make an impact. These are a couple tools that you can use. These are a couple things that I think are really important. And we're going to look at it, but we're going to go through this. We're going to look at one verse today, one verse out of Colossians 1:28. But before we get into our Bibles, I want to go ahead and pray for us. Whenever I preach, I want to give it up to God first and make sure that he's here and he's going to convict us this morning. Let's do that. God, we love you. And again, I thank you so much for who you are and for your son who has made an incredible impact on my life. My prayer is that today you would speak through me, that you would use these words to make an impact in this room. I pray that you would soften our hearts and be willing to accept what your scripture has to tell us today. We love you. Again, it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I said this, we're going to almost finish chapter 1 of Colossians. We're going to get to verse 28. We're going to look at this one verse today, and then next week, you will have the honor and privilege of listening to Joe Caputo finish out the chapter. And if you think I can get crazy with my words, he can get all over the place, which is great. I'm so excited for that. I love Joe. So we'll look at verse 28. We're going to look at 29 next week. Now, here's the thing. The entire book of Colossians it's so rich. Like, there's a ton of really great stuff that Paul says through the book of Colossians. And chapter 1 kind of just sets the tone for the entire book. But it's almost like the end of this chapter is almost like an acceptance speech. Like, have you ever watched the Oscars or the Academy Awards? And there's typically that person that's up on stage accepting an award, and it's like they had a really great speech planned out, and they get up there and they say a couple things, and then they hit what I call the wrap it up music. Like, it's just all of a sudden it's like da ba 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 da da, and like somebody comes out and starts to pull them off stage, or they might stand behind them like this. And what they do oftentimes is they just start rapid firing like a bunch of really good things towards the end of their message or their speech or whatever. That's kind of how the end of the first chapter of Colossians goes. Like, obviously there's a lot of great stuff, but then he gets to this verse 28, and when I'm doing my study for this, I'm like, man, there's just so much good stuff in this one verse. Like, we could spend a month on just this one verse. So I want to encourage you guys today. Don't just take what I have to say and just go from here. Take some personal time to study this. Look at what other people are saying about it. Google some other sermons about this. Like, there's so many great stuff, great things that can be said about verse 28 of Colossians. And there's also a really good thing about this book as well, is that Paul tends to repeat himself. So we'll get back to some of this as we continue through this series. But here's what he said, and we're gonna take this piece by piece. In Colossians 1:28, I've got my Bible here. It's probably on the screen, though. Yeah, there you go. Colossians 1:28 says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." Some translations say fully mature in Christ. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to go by each comma. I'm going to take a pause, because these are the three things I'm going to focus on this morning. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. So we're going to go piece by piece, one at a time. And the first, and here's what I see with this, though. The first couple things I see is I see two essential ingredients for making an impact in the world around us. The first one is this: we proclaim Christ. The verse opens up with, "He is the one we proclaim." And if you go further back, he's talking about Jesus. Who do we proclaim? Christ. It's that simple. But here's where this gets tricky. And here's my challenge to you guys today. Is we tend to invite people to church, right? This is our proclamation of Christ. It's, hey, why don't you come to CCW with me this Sunday? And what I know I do, and maybe you're guilty of this as well, is when someone says, I don't know, church isn't really my thing, or well, what do I have to expect? We tend to say things like, well, we've got a really great worship team, right? There's a really great band. It opens up with a concert, right? We might say, well, there's coffee and biscuits and gravy on Sunday morning. Like, it's a really good, it's a nice atmosphere. People love each other very much. We might say stuff like, well, you know, throughout the week, we've got this gym that we use all the time. There's pickleball ministries, and there's basketball going on throughout the week, and volleyball, and different sports or whatever. We tend to then list the things our church has to offer, right? And we forget to tell them about Jesus. We forget to go, you know what, I want you to come to church because Jesus has made such a huge impact in my life. We forget to say stuff like, you know what, God is moving at CCW, and I want you to witness it. I want you to see what it looks like. That's my challenge to you guys this morning, is proclaim Christ above anything else. Before you get onto the list of great things that CCW has to offer, next time you invite somebody to church, just say, man, you know what, I want you to come to church because I want you to know what it's like to know Jesus. Moving on from that, I had a chance, as I'm doing this study, I did a word study. I kind of took a couple words out of this verse, and I wanted to look at them in the original language because I went to college and learned this, and I wanted to use that again for a change. Typically, you go to college and you learn things and you forget them. So I went back, and I'm looking at the original language of this text, and I wanted to pull this word proclaim out. Because in the English language, we typically think of this as like shouting it from the mountaintop, right? Or having a conversation with somebody, proclaiming to be a Christian, whatever that looks like. We have kind of an image in our minds based off of our language. But I went back and I'm looking at this in the Greek, and I'm like, you know what's really crazy about the word that's used here? Like, there is a word for preaching. There is a word for having a conversation, like talking to a friend. And the words that's used here is not those words. The words that's used here, yeah, those are kind of secondary definitions for it, like to shout or whatever. But it's not the word for to have a conversation with somebody or to shout it out from a mountaintop or anything like that. It isn't a word that means intentionally public, though, right? So this is something that we're doing openly, but it's not necessarily something we do with our mouth. Right? So here's the really great thing about this. This blew my mind because I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, you know, we usually talk about proclaiming Christ as sharing our faith with our friends, having a conversation about it, talking to a stranger about who Jesus is and inviting them to church, doing things that involve using our mouth. But the really great thing and about this is that's not necessarily what has to happen. I don't know if you're anything like me, but I want to share my faith with people. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to invite them to church in a supermarket line or whatever, but I don't always know how to start the conversation, right? I get nervous about it. I don't want to just go up to somebody and say, hey, did you know about this dude, Jesus? Like, I don't know how well that's going to work, and so I don't know how to start the conversation. But the really great thing is that you can let your actions be your proclamation. You don't have to use your mouth to proclaim Jesus, right? If you're a really great speaker and you can talk people's ear off, like some people are gifted in this. Some people are gifted in just, I call it the Jesus juke, right? Like where if somebody says something, you immediately like revolve it back to Jesus. Some people are really, really good at this. Like my grandparents are awesome at it. Like, how are you doing today? Blessed and highly favored. Thank you very much. Some people are very good. I grabbed my coffee this morning. I said, how are you? And they said, better than I deserve. And I said, that's great. But like some people are really, really good at this and turning the conversation back to Jesus. I am not. So for me, and maybe for you, this is really great news that you don't always have to use your words. And we're taught this from birth, right? Actions speak louder than words anyway. But you can let the way that you treat people be your proclamation of Jesus. You can let the way that you love your spouse be the way that you proclaim Christ in your home. You can let your generosity do the speaking for you. Whatever it is, though, you have to do it. You have to let the world know that you know Jesus and the things that he's doing in your life is incredible. And you know what's really great about letting your actions do the talking? It leads us to this next part. But when you let your actions do the talking, it leads to a conversation anyway. It leads to a really great, I can't even tell you the amount of times when I was in high school, I had a friend who came to me one day in the hallway and he said, "Hey, there's a party tonight. Do you want to go?" And I knew what was going to happen at this party, and I just said, "No, I'm not going to go." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I know what's going to happen at this party, and I know that it's not the environment that I want to be in." And he said, "Why? Why don't you want to go?" Like, he kept digging, and I said, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian, and this is, it's just not going to be the atmosphere that I want to put myself in." And I'll never forget it. Like, 2 years later, he walked through the front doors of our church, and I was like, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a long time." He's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Well, what's going on?" He's like, "Well, I what you said to me that day," like, I hadn't even seen him in years. And he's like, "Remember when we had that conversation? It really took me by surprise, and it really made me want to seek out who Jesus was in my life. All because I just said, I don't want to go." You know what I mean? Like, my actions ended up leading him into the front doors of our church. And he even told me, he's like, "Well, I wanted to go to your church, but I didn't know what church you went to. So I went to this other church for the last 2 years, and I got baptized, and I've done all these great things, and now I'm leading a college ministry." I'm like, "What is going on?" Like, all of these things came just because I was willing to let my actions do the talking. And a really great conversation came out of it. So you have to, whatever it is, however you want to make it known that you are a Christ follower, you could speak it, you could just live it out. Whatever it is, make him known in whatever way possible. Proclaim Christ. The second ingredient is a little bit different. It kind of comes out of that one because we get into good conversations when we're proclaiming Jesus. But I want to be transparent for just a minute. Like, I did this word study because I didn't know what this word meant. Right? Like, we, in the church, we can be guilty of speaking what I call Christianese, which is like, we have these words that we use in church that you're never going to hear anywhere else, right? We use words like, "I'm not going to hear this," like, having a conversation around the water cooler at work or whatever is fellowship, but you're not going to call it fellowship, you know what I mean? We don't use those kind of words outside of church: repentance, justification, sanctification. Like, these are words that we only use inside of this building. They're not part of common conversations. This next word is the word admonish. And I got to this and I was like, "I don't know what that means. I don't know what that word means." So I'm going to look it up and I'm going to study it a little bit. And this is kind of what motivated me to do that. But we see it here in Colossians 1:28, and we see it again later in chapter 3. And it's always in the same sentence with the word teach, which tells me they're connected. And when I did a little bit more of a study of this, the word admonish really means to kind of use sound reasoning, right? So it makes sense that they say, teach somebody with sound reasoning in all wisdom, right? This is basically the heart of having a good conversation, having an educational conversation about who Jesus is. And this naturally follows after we proclaim Christ, whether through our actions or through our speech or whatever it is. So what I get out of this, we look at the next verse where it says to teach and admonish everybody in all wisdom, is really to teach somebody using sound reason, using sound doctrine, using just having a good conversation about it. So the second ingredient for impact that I want you guys to take note of is this: learn how to argue well. Learn how to have a good argument, right? And we'll talk a little more about what I mean by that. But Ephesians 4:15 says that speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect, or in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speak the truth, right? This is the truth. What's written in here is truth. We have it, right? And it's written down in here. But we live in a world that doesn't really want to hear it anymore. Am I right? We live in a world where, and we're warned of this in 2 Timothy 4:3, where people no longer want to listen to sound doctrine. They would rather turn to whatever their itching ears want to hear. But we have truth right here for them. And that can make it kind of difficult, but it's not as difficult if you learn how to argue well, right? Now, here's what this does not mean. It does not mean learn how to start an argument, right? It really doesn't. It doesn't mean learn how to be argumentative about your faith, right? That's not what it's saying. This is learn how to explain what you believe and why you believe it. Learn how to do that. Speak truth, but approach people out of love. Do you know better? Yes, you've got God's word right here, full of all kinds of truth. You do know better. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to lose your humility over that, right? But we do know better. We have the we're speaking from the pages of the Bible. The problem is people don't want to necessarily hear it all the time. So while we're on the subject, let me say this. In order to argue well, you have to cultivate a relationship of trust with people. I have a couple of different rules that I live out in my life. And this has to do with cultivating a relationship of trust or cultivating a friendship. But one of the rules that I live by is never, ever, under any circumstances, assume that a woman is pregnant. If you've ever done this, you know the feels, right? This is a grave mistake. And you know why we use that expression? Because if you make this mistake, you will be in a grave. Right? I've only done this once, and I'll never, ever do it again, right? This was at a gathering. There were some friends there, and if you've gotten to know me a little bit, you've learned that I'm not good at putting names with faces. So you may be able to see where this is going. I had a friend who was like, hey, so-and-so is pregnant. Isn't that great news? And I was like, oh, that is great news. Let me go congratulate them. Wrong face with the name, right? Oh, I heard you were pregnant. Excuse me? Yeah, I hope I never see this woman again. I'm pretty sure she feels the same way about me. But you know what? I should have been a friend first, right? Or I should have just been smarter than that. You know? But if I was a friend first, if this was somebody that I knew personally, and you know, I wanted to be friends with this person. That's why I was going to congratulate them. But if I was a friend first, I would have known that either they weren't pregnant, or I would have, or even if they weren't, but they were a close friend, maybe they would have let it slide, right? Because we would have cultivated this relationship of trust. They would have known me better. They would have just let it roll off their back. Now, the Bible talks a lot about really great friendships, though, right? It talks really highly about friendships, and here's what it says in Proverbs 27:6, and this is a big deal. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Be a friend first. There's this guy, his name is Howard Hendricks. You may have never heard of him, but he was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he was a speaker for a ministry called Promise Keepers. Maybe you've heard of that. This is a nationwide men's ministry that does conferences every year. And he once said this. He said, you can impress people from a distance, but you can impact them only up close. Isn't that the truth, right? Be a friend first. Then start thinking about ways to impact people. We will not get anywhere with speaking the truth out of love to people that don't want to hear it. You know, 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter says what? It says, I can speak with angelic eloquence, right? I can say all the right words. And this, of course, is a paraphrase again, but if I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong, right? Basically, that means I'm loud and nobody wants to hear me, right? If we don't have love. Keep this in mind. People don't need to encounter somebody that has all of the answers. They don't need somebody who has a holier-than-thou attitude. You can't make an impact in the lives of other people by speaking the truth out of hate, out of spite, or anything other than love. This is great, too, because this is a growth step not just for the person hearing, but for me also. I don't know if you've ever had to practice this, but God has a really funny way of teaching us patience, right? And he teaches us humility through this. And it's great. So it doesn't just become a growth step for the people you're talking with. I know for me, anytime I've had to do this, this is a growth step for me as well. Here's a really great formula I want to share with you guys for spiritual growth. If you're math-minded, it is be a friend first, plus speak the truth in love equals spiritual growth, which leads to maturity, which is what we're talking about, right? Learn how to argue well. That means be a friend with somebody and then start the conversation. Speak the truth out of love, and that will lead to spiritual growth and maturity. The last part of this verse, and I'll read it again, 1 Corinthians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That last part, in some translations I said, present everyone fully mature in Christ. It's restating our goal, right? To equip other people for impact. And here's why I get to that. But here's what this tells me, first of all, is that proclaiming Christ does not end at the baptistry. We have a tendency to abandon people after they're baptized. And this is what happens, is we have it in our minds that we're proclaiming Christ and we're sharing the good news with people so that they'll go to heaven, right? So we share the good news with them, we fire them up, we get them baptized, and then we move on to the next person. What I want to say is that's not how you impact people. That's not how you make a great impact for God's kingdom as well. Like I said, our goal is to equip people so that they will then want to impact people as well. So what does fully mature in Christ look like? Now, I work with teens, which means they're maturing physically as well as I'm trying to help them mature spiritually as well. So I do a lot of this, helping them come into their own as a young leader within the youth group or within the church or whatever that looks like. But spiritual maturity really has nothing to do with age, right? There could be the 30, 40, or 60-plus-year-old. I was at a church, at my home church, we baptized a guy who was 92. But spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age. Once you've been baptized, you're only beginning the journey, right? But unfortunately, what we do is walk away at that point. But I want to look at, what does fully mature look like? And to do that, I want to look at Paul himself, the guy who wrote Colossians. Here's a man who was completely on the outside of what Christianity was. But Jesus invades his life, right? On the way to Damascus, Jesus shows up and says, "Why are you persecuting my people?" And it's a life-changing moment for Paul. And he goes to Damascus, he gets baptized, and then turns around and goes on the greatest Christian mission trip I've ever seen, right? This is a man that didn't just not love Jesus. This is a guy who was a leader in the Jewish community and had devoted his life to undoing everything that Jesus did. You can say he had a immature or a incomplete understanding of who Jesus was. But after his conversion, after that day at Damascus, we get to see him grow as a Christ follower. I love reading his letters, and I love reading about his missionary journeys in the book of Acts. And what we get to see is an imperfect person grow into a leader within the church, into a person who was mature himself and leading other mature people in Christ as well. And one of the people that he's leading is Timothy. You've probably heard that before, but in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, he gives the picture for Timothy. He says, this is what it looks like. This is what being a leader in the church, this is what being a fully mature Christ follower looks like. And here's what he says: "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust," and this is the important part, "entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Paul is mentoring this guy, Timothy, and throughout the letters to Timothy, this theme keeps popping up of mentor other men to be just like you, so that someday they will be leaders within the church. You're a leader now, but who's going to take your place when you're gone? Mentor other people to raise up alongside of you and come in behind you, or go out from where you are and find other people to share the good news with. This should be the same for us. We should be making that same proclamation, right? It doesn't end at the baptistry. It doesn't really end at all in the relationship with that person. It's our responsibility to keep growing them, help them, spur them along to become a fully mature Christ follower who is then leading other people to Christ as well. I'm going to end this here in just a minute, but I want you guys to hear this. If you hear nothing else this morning, it doesn't end at the baptistry. There's so much more to our faith journey, right? And when we work so hard to proclaim Christ so that people will be baptized and accept him, but we rob them of the next step in their faith, joining a small group to invest in other lives of other people, serving in ministry, getting mentored, right? We've just started this huge push for mentoring within our church, and we've got some people that are doing it. We've got this group up in Foundations right now that are getting mentored or being told what we believe as a church. Like, we're helping them make next steps. If we're not doing that for people, we have done the kingdom an incredible disservice. It starts by proclaiming Christ. It starts by getting people to the baptistry. It starts by getting people saved. And however you do that, you can shout it out, you can live it out, whatever works best for you. But, and this may lead to baptism, but it doesn't end there, people. After that, you've got to learn how to argue well. You've got to learn how to share your faith in a way that uses wisdom, that uses sound doctrine, in a way that is appealing to other people. Speak the truth in love, and then walk them through the spiritual growth process with them. That's my prayer for us as a church this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and pray one more time just to close this out, and the band's going to lead us in worship. Heavenly Father, again, I love you. I thank you so much for who you are and the work that you're doing here at CCW, and I thank you for the work that you're doing in my own life as I continue to grow closer to you. I pray that I will just continually be effective in sharing the good news with the people I come in contact with. But not that I would just let it in there, or that we would let it in there, but that we would just continue to invest in people beyond that. We would help them know what it means to be fully mature in Christ, to invest in them to a point where they're ready to invest in other people, to equip them to make an impact for your kingdom and for your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.